All right, guys, thanks for tuning in today. I have Siri Larice on today, and she will be telling us about tiny home living, a little bit about gardening, and her singing career. So let's get started. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, wonderful. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Great.
All right, so let's see. Make sure I got my paper because it was a couple of things that I did want to talk to you about because I was like, oh my gosh, I have to ask her about this. Okay, so I guess we can go ahead and get started. But first, I just want to make sure that I'm saying your name right.
Yes.
So it's Siri Larice, right?
Siri Larice.
Siri, okay, got it. Mm-hmm. I was a little off.
Yeah.
First, let me ask you about your blog and how you came up with the name, because it's really interesting. I like it.
Oh, for my podcast, Kind of Hippie, Kind of Hood?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, essentially, I was looking at all the different components of who I am as a person.
Right.
And I teeter between both of those things. I think naturally, my lifestyle is definitely more, I guess if you use the term hippie, it falls more into those lines. But I also have no qualms with speaking my piece, you know?
Right, so. Right, right. Yeah, I feel you on that. I really do.
So it kind of just fell into place. I remember a friend had pointed out a shirt she saw that said like a little bit hippie, a little bit hood on it. And she's like, well, if that's not you, I don't know what is.
Right, right. Yeah, I like it. I really like it. It kind of explains itself, but I just wanted to kind of hear, you know, your reason behind choosing that. Cause I was like, sure. That's kind of cool. And, what I wanted to ask you about was the tiny house living.
Yes.
I'm like obsessed with like watching tiny house videos on YouTube and on TV. Yes. And like, I don't know if I could do it because I'm claustrophobic. but like it's something that I would really like to have for like travel or something like that. So right. I'm just really interested in hearing like what made you choose like tiny house living.
Sure. So back in about 2005 or so, I was living in Chicago, and I'm a musician, I'm a singer, and I found travel is kind of a part of the gig. Or right. having to relocate to wherever the work is calling you, you know?
Right, right.
And so I'm very much introverted as an individual, but my profession calls me to be extroverted. So,
right, right.
Which usually means I live in big cities, which can be really overwhelming for me.
Right, right.
So I started to hear about the tiny house movement then in about 2004, 2005-ish. And I thought, well, that seems like that's a perfect solution to be able to take your home with you wherever you're going. And even if you need to be in a big city, you still can have your cozy space, you know, that works for
you. Right.
And at the time, that just wasn't what was in the cards for me. It was a completely different situation. I ended up buying a traditional home. Still a small home, a cozy home. It was like 700 square feet. But I knew that minimalism and being able to pack up and go, but still have home with me, is really important. And, beyond my instruments and sheet music, I didn't require much more space, you know, than just right. that. And I didn't have a child and a husband at the time. So it was completely different.
Right.
Um, So that I always just kind of kept with me and knew that I've always tried to live as minimally as possible, even though there's been pretty big shifts. I mean, I've lived in 2,500 square foot homes to 200 square foot homes, you know?
Yeah, I feel you on that because I'm from New York. So, you know, we don't get very much space.
Yeah, you know, you get it where you fit in.
Right, so, exactly.
I really learned that like more isn't really my jam. It just means that's more to take care of or more to fill up with things I don't need.
Yeah.
And
I'm cleaning my house now, throwing stuff out. I'm like,
I need it. Right. And honestly, you don't know what you don't need until you get rid of it, you know, or
exactly. So
it's just
true.
Been sitting for so long that it's like, have this? I'm not using it.
That's so true. And I tell Dwight the same thing because he has things that he hasn't touched since before he met me. And I'm like, why is this here? Can I throw it away? Right. Well, I was saving it for you. Were saving it for what?
Right. It's been
for like 5 years and you haven't touched it yet. So why?
Right.
So I definitely feel you on that. So was a tiny house a better option than like maybe an RV? Is it better as far as comfortability?
Well, yes, because the thing about a tiny house, it's traditionally built, you know, so we're talking a traditional foundation, the structural security of the home is as a standard home would be. And granted, we thought about like, oh, I wonder what an RV would be like.
Right.
But that's just not my lane. We need a little bit more traditional than that.
Right.
For comfort wise, especially. And also our intention isn't to move around a lot now because, I mean, since we're in Los Angeles, I don't really have to go anywhere for work. So it's a lot easier to be stationary. And it comes with, we have the option if we want to go traditional on grid with electricity and plumbing, that's an option. Right. Or if we want to go completely off grid, that's an option. And that's not really the same with an RV, you know?
Right. I would love to live off grid. And we've actually been talking about that a lot. I think it's better. I would love to have like a solar powered home and you know, everything. So I'm with you. I'm with you on all of that.
For sure. And it's such a huge transition. It's, you know, in our heads, it was like, we'll do everything at once. Things don't work like that. And so we've just kind of learned to go with the flow a little bit. And as things are presented, we learn what works for us and what doesn't work. And we just kind of adjust as we go.
Right. Okay. That sounds good. I would love to like see more pictures of your tiny
house. I'm terrible about that. I really need to get on that. Yeah, or at least a quick video tour, you know?
Yeah, oh, that would be great because I've literally been like watching tiny home tours on YouTube when I'm sometime, and I'm like, man, and they look so nice. They look
Nice. It's beautiful. It's very beautiful. And you know, we lucked out that ours it honestly feels it's almost too big for us, but it's just me, my husband, and we have a 7-year-old. And and we each have private individual sleeping areas. So it's like, unlike a lot of models, we have the privacy we need. And I think really that's the key factor into any space that you live in is making sure that everybody has their own zone that like when somebody's on somebody's nerves, you can go away. And so we have that. And I think that's what keeps the peace.
Yeah. Okay, so you brought up singing, which is another thing that I wanted to ask you about because a lot of people don't know this about me is that singing is my first love. I write songs, I write poetry, and I would sing, but I don't have the balls to sing in front of me.
Girl.
I get so scared and sweaty, and I'm like, oh my God. And I was like, I admire people who go out there and are able to show off their talent, and I'm just like, I just wish that I could do that because I love to sing, so I just do it in the you know, privacy of my own little bathroom and
Right.
sing my life away. So how did you get started with that?
Listen, I have to first say, I feel you. It's
Yeah,
hard. It is such
it
a hard gift to manage in
Yeah.
general. And figuring out the best way to use our voice, for me anyway, is one of the hardest challenges, be it speaking or singing or how I engage with people. I just find it to be, whoa, you know. But I don't come from a musical family, career-wise, but my mom and my grandparents and my aunts and uncles all are very big music lovers. And as far back as I re can remember, they were always playing amazing music for me. And so as soon as I could, I started taking voice lessons, piano lessons, and woodwind lessons, and I just stuck with that all throughout high school. And when it got time for college, it was kind of like shit or get off the pot, figuring out what lane I wanted to go to. And I had been singing the whole time as well, but my focus had been instrumental music. And I was just like, I don't have to, like, if I just sing, I don't have to tote all of these instruments. I just have this one instrument that's always with me, you know? And so I decided to just make that my focus. And fresh, like 2 days after turning 18, moved out to LA and started school and joined a performing arts company where we toured nationally and internationally teaching music workshops
Oh, wow, that's
and
cool.
promoting music education in the school systems, because that's kind of like the first programs to get cut. And so we would go, and we'd go to a town for 3 days and teach the local elementary through high school kids a full musical theater production that they got to present to their parents and their community. And after that, I came back to LA and did more musical theater, TV production, until I was too tired to do it anymore. And that's when I moved to Chicago and kept doing it, but in a different capacity that felt a little bit more humble and on par to my heart, you know? And so after that, basically LA, it's like nonstop. I'm always called back to Los Angeles. And so once my husband and I got married and we were like, yes, that's where we'll put our roots down. It works. And so it's been a lovely transition to still be out here and making music too.
Yeah, that's awesome because I've tried quite a few times to get out of that shell and see if I could do it. And I remember my mother, she was like, this was, wow, when was this? Maybe this was about 2007 or so. And my mother, she went to karaoke like every, I think, Wednesday or Thursday night. She was like, you want to go one night? And I was like, okay, I'll go. I'm not going to sing, but I'll go. So she can sing as well, but she's the same way. She's like, I'm not getting up there. She's like, I don't like the sound. So I went and I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna do it. So I signed up and I was like, okay, I'm gonna sing this Lauryn Hill X Factor and I'm gonna get up there and I'm just gonna do it, right? So I get up there and I'm like, oh my gosh, armpit sweating, hands sweating. I felt like I was gonna shit myself. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do it, but I did it and I was like shaking the whole room, but I did it and I was like, I don't know if I could do this again. Like all eyes on you, everybody's waiting. I'm like, are they waiting to listen? Are they waiting to see if I'm any good? Do they want me to fuck up? I'm like, oh my
All of
gosh,
it.
this is
It's
terrible.
all of
And
it.
the response was great. The response was great because I don't want to toot my own horn, but I
Yeah,
can
but
do it.
you know what I mean?
You know, so and I felt it was really overwhelming and I'm glad I did it, but I think I probably should have did it a little more just to, you know, get used
Honestly,
to it.
that's it. It's the repetition.
Yeah.
And it's for me, it's not being on stage in the actual action of performing is cake. it's before. It's the lead up. It's the anxiety, the anticipation, the what if. That's my zone of having to get over that stumbling block before I get on stage. Right. You know, the prep. Because you're right, you don't know what other people's intentions are for you. And so when you're coming from a pure place and you want to give, but you know that maybe other people do want you to fuck up.
You know. Something like karaoke, because it's like most times people are just doing it for fun and they can't sing.
Sure.
So, you know, they don't care. So I'm getting up there and I know I can sing and I'm like, thinking I probably can't sing. And like there was like a couple of people up front like, oh my God, yes. And I was like, oh, that feels so good, but I'm scared of shit. Yeah. And I just don't know. So, but it was a pretty cool experience. And maybe I'll do it again one day, because me and Dwight like to do the sip and paint, and they usually have a sip and paint karaoke night. Yeah. So maybe I'll get up there.
Listen, let me know if there's anything I can do to help, because if you have a gift and you have it in your heart to share it, I encourage that.
Yeah, I will definitely reach out. So I also want to talk a little bit about gardening, because anybody who doesn't know, this is my fellow gardening sister.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I remember, I think it's your husband that he builds like the raised beds and stuff like that. I wish I was closer, because
oh my gosh, he's the best.
I need some of those. Yeah. So how did he get started into that? Was it you asking for stuff and he's like, you know what? Isn't that how it always starts?
You nailed it. So essentially, I have always, I've gardened as long as I've been an adult. And when I realized that my husband was crafty and easily, because he just likes to tinker, and his profession is in solar. And so he knows how things work. He's great with tools. He's got a plumbing background. And so I'm like, well, I'm sure if I draw something, he can put it together. And so I call him sketches. Yeah. So I drop these terrible sketches and I'm like, can you build something like this? And he turns it out every single time. And so finally we decided, after some friends asking to have him build, to offer them to people, because our goal in general with our gardening and how we connect with our friends and the community is accessibility, because in Los Angeles, things are so expensive. And if you want to grow food, there's not a lot of places to grow food, and there's a lot of apartments and things.
Right.
And so we thought, hey, if we have raised beds that are accessible physically for people of different abilities and also financially and spatially, we should offer them. And so he started building them for other people beyond just me as well.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, because I do the same thing to Dwight, and I remember not gardening related, but I do pole fitness.
Oh, fun.
And I was like, you know, these poles are kind of, they're expensive.
Yes.
So especially the ones that come with the stage, because I would like to do it outside sometimes.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, you know, I would need a stage, because then, you know, I won't have to worry about sticking that in the ground and, you know, all that stuff. So he was like, well, I said maybe you can build one and then maybe we can sell it. And he's like, yeah, maybe. So he's like thinking of ways to, you know, put things together and what materials he used. I do the same thing to him with almost everything.
That's wonderful.
Especially garden stuff. Yeah, I'm like, I find stuff on Pinterest and I'm like, you can make this.
Yes.
So he's like, another one. And I'm like, well, I think we can put it over here and do this and do that. So yeah, I feel you on that. So. Yeah, it's definitely great when you have somebody handy.
Absolutely.
On hand.
For sure.
All right. So those are the main things that I wanted to talk to you about. And I appreciate your time. Is there anything that you would like to talk about that anybody might not know?
No, I mean, I try to be pretty transparent. I love being able to to chat about gardening and the things that bring me joy. Yeah. And I'm so glad that we've connected because we have so much in common. So I look forward to us getting to know each other more.
Definitely, definitely. All right. Well, thank you for doing this interview with me, and I will speak to you soon.
Great. Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Well, that was all for today. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure you tune in next week, because I will have my sister on and she'll be talking about her work as a doula and placenta encapsulation specialist, and she'll have some very valuable information that you all might want to hear as far as being a doula and things that are happening in the birthing world. Thanks for listening, guys.